It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Kirk Elliott hanging out in the house with us today. He's back there making sure everything is running okay. So welcome to the show. We got a good show lined up for you. A little bit later, we're going to have Steve Post on. The Postman is going to join us. And if you haven't heard, next week we are going to have the Postman live in studio with us here. Kansas Speedway weekend coming up next week. Looking forward to having Steve hang out with us here in the studio for an hour. Next Thursday, it's not going to be Wednesday, as he normally is on Wednesday. But next Thursday, I think the Postman and myself are going to go down to Knuckleheads, Kansas City, and check out some music on Wednesday night. And then on Thursday, we're going to have Steve Post here in the studio. So that'll be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that. Austin, how are you doing today, bud? You doing all right?
Doing great.
Yeah.
It feels like it's a long week.
Why does it feel like a long week?
I don't know. I woke up and was expecting it to be like Thursday or later in the week, and it's only...
Don't you hate it?
Yeah.
So, hold on a second, Austin. So in the beginning, you used to kind of make a little bit of fun of me, right? Because I would forget what day it is, right?
Oh, that still happens.
It happens to you now, doesn't it?
No, it's not that I forget. I know what day it is, but, you know, you wake up and you're like...
I wish it was Thursday.
Either I wish it's Thursday or I was really thinking today was Thursday when I woke up, but I know deep down it's not. I'm stuck in this rhythm of knowing what day it is, just, I guess, but...
But it's easy to forget what day it is sometimes. Have you ever just woke up thinking, what is today? Have you ever done that? Ever woke up thinking what day it is?
Yeah, and then I reach over, grab my phone.
And look and
see
what
day it
is.
So I'm not sitting there confused for half a day.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. And listen, man, we got to watch that late, that was a Crate late model race last night they ran at Wilkesboro, right?
Yeah, Crate Limited.
Whatever
anything
you want to call it.
From a super.
It's whatever. A 604, wasn't it?
It's like a six. It's either 604 or 602.
Yeah. The 604 makes 425 horsepower, and I think the 602 makes what, about 375? Isn't that right?
Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
I know your 604 number's correct.
So, what did you think of that race last night after watching it?
It wasn't a bad race. You know, they had some weather move in. I believe it delayed some of the start time. Normally the races kind of kick off in like late evening, and you
right.
can see some of the daylight and the sunset off in the background. And as the race, you know, runs its 50 laps, you know, it'll transition into nighttime. And they fired off for that late model race, and it was already pitch black outside. So,
You
know, it looks like the rain kind of affected their start times, and it kind of cleaned up the track a little bit, so I'm not sure how much rubber was actually laid down after the rain came in or how much was actually, you know, washed away, but
yeah,
it kind of single-filed the racing out a little bit.
Did.
The leaders had a really good race for, man, I think it was 12, 15 laps.
They
and
ran
were just,
side by side, didn't they?
And
yeah.
they only hit once, and, you
yeah.
know, that's kind of rare to see someone run side by side for, you know, that long and not take somebody out or make, you know, contact like that, but... You know, besides that, you know, they only had a wreck, maybe one or two wrecks, and
they had that one big pileup coming off of turn four there.
Off of turn two, and
oh,
the
was
guy,
it turn two?
Yeah, the guy broke on the restart. I don't know, the left rear kind of dropped down. And I don't know if what kind of suspension they have under it, but something in the suspension
something
broke.
Yeah,
and you know, he spun, and luckily, not a lot of cars got involved. You know, a couple spun, but you know, is the limited cars don't, you know. With them having limited horsepower, the show they put on isn't, you know, what we're going to see with the Supers or
right.
with the Cars Tour tonight. But, you know, for them bringing in enough cars to have a B main, you know,
was pretty good
showing.
Yeah. I think people want to race there, don't you? I think
yeah.
the drivers they don't know if this is going to be the last hurrah for that racetrack or not. Nobody really knows. I mean, I know they say they're going to repave it and they're going to do all these capital improvements to the facility and everything. I get that. And I hope that's all true. But the fact is, you just never know, right? I mean, money could run out.
Yeah, and it's like the same deal we're seeing with when they have the Bristol Dirt Nationals. Everybody wants to race at Bristol.
Right.
No matter if it's on dirt or pavement, they're going to show up for it. And that place is just so prestigious. And, you know, everybody talks about it. Everybody you talk to knows about it. And for them to, you know, it was just a dream, you know, maybe 2 years ago of ever getting racing back here and, you know, to actually have it back. You know, guys realize the opportunity that they have and they know if they support it, by them supporting it, it just, you know, better, you know, gives a better chance of them bringing it back to the track, either full time or with a NASCAR schedule and some, you know, local races here and there. But, you know, they all understand they have to do their part and trying to get the place, you know, back on the schedule and back alive and running, you know, full time. And you know, that's what we're seeing with car counts and, you know, fan attendance. Like, I think tonight's they're actually sold out, and they actually had to open up the grandstands in turn one and two,
no kidding,
to accommodate for the ticket sales.
The grandstands were a little light last night, weren't they?
Yeah, I think some of the rain might have
ran the walk up crowd off. Yeah. Maybe right, yeah. But you know that last lap of that race, that was pretty exciting because they had a lap car as they went down into turn one. I think it was turn one.
Yeah,
and they had to split that lap car at the last second. And this was on the final lap of the race, and that made it pretty exciting there at the end.
It did for sure, and it, you know, I can't remember which car was, you know, went to the bottom to avoid the lap car and was down on the apron and on the flat stuff. And actually, the apron there's kind of like, what do you call it when it's not flat? It's running downhill. There's another word for being downhill, or off camber is what it is, and somehow he was able to save it and not spin and still have a shot. I don't remember if that guy actually won or not. It'll come to me here in a second. But,
right.
Yeah, it's anytime you got a lap car sitting right in front of you on the last lap as a leader, you are hoping he's out of the way and doesn't crash, you know, one of you or both of
and
you.
And it was really tight when they went around that lap car. I think there was even a little contact between the lap car because he got the lap car when they split him. One went high, one went low. They went around him. The lap car kind of got sideways like somebody made contact with him a little bit.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they did. I mean, the guy was sitting right in the middle of the groove and was really in didn't need to be there. And
bad spot.
Yeah, and if someone gave him a shot to the rear bumper, he probably deserved it, and, you know, glad it didn't dump him.
Yeah. Tammy's chiming in. Hey, listen, we'll open up the phone lines today if we need to, if anybody wants to call in. We'll put the phone number up if you want to chime in on the show. But Tammy says, wanted to follow up with your interview with Brian Brown yesterday. There are three outside drivers who the PA fans admire. Kyle Larson, Rico Abreu, Blackjack Brian Brown. The fans line up three deep to buy their merchandise when they come into town. All three will stay long after the races to sign autographs and speak with the fans. That's kind of cool. Yeah. So those are the three, Tammy. There's nobody outside of those three that are kind of – do the fans in PA, do they like Donnie Schatz? That's what I'd like to know. Were the better yet, were the fans pulling for Donnie Schatz to win the Knoxville Nationals? I'm not sure about that. And so, anyway, I don't know. When you do those three drivers, those are easy guys to like, right? Kyle Larson, Rico Abreu, and Blackjack Brian Brown. Those are pretty easy guys to like, right?
Yeah, I mean, they all are kind of like...
they know how to service the fans, too.
And I was just, took the words right out of my mouth, really, and they understand the fans' role in racing and their role as a driver and what they need to do to keep coming back and keep the fans, you know, at the races and supporting their team and their career. You know, if they just, you know, load the trailer up after the races and go to the car wash and don't talk to one fan and don't sell one T-shirt, they're not going to be out on the road very long.
Right.
That'll you know, catch them, later down the road, and they'll, you know, regret, you know, just kind of give everybody the cold shoulder, I guess.
You know, Rico's proactive on selling those T-shirts. I mean, is there anybody better at selling T-shirts than Rico Abreu? Is there anybody that does it better?
I think Rico, he's maybe Brady Bacon.
Brady, maybe, yeah.
Brady, you always see Brady on social media just doing something.
Right.
I think those two are probably the best T-shirt sellers on social media right now.
You know, but what I see about Rico is Rico, he's proactive, and he spends some money on some advertisement as well. That's the one thing I don't see other people do. You know, like if I'm watching a Flow broadcast, I'll see a Rico, Buy Rico commercial. You ever see that on some of their broadcasts?
Yeah, I've seen it a handful of times.
You don't see many drivers go out and buy advertisement to sell their merchandise, do you?
No, and I think he might be the only one.
He might be the only one.
You know, that's something that I don't think a lot of people really think about. And, you know, I think if some more drivers did it, you know, it might pay off. And I bet you it would definitely drive up your sales because, you know, let's say that ads ran at some, you know, local broadcast on Flow Racing and an area you don't go race at, but they're fans of you, and now they know how to buy your shirts even if they didn't know before. So, it would definitely, you know, open up, like, your reach, and it should just definitely pay off in the long run, and you'd have some more fans, and your T-shirt sales would go up.
So, somebody was bringing up, there's a rumor going around that I understand that both Grandview has sold or closed up, but let me just say, first of all, that the rumors about I-30 Speedway in Little Rock, Arkansas, it's not confirmed that that racetrack has been sold yet.
I'm seeing more and more posts every day pop up about it.
I know people are running around and the rumors running wild, and I'm not going to say that it isn't going to be sold. But from my sources that I have that are very well connected to Tracy Clay, the word is right now that the racetrack has not been sold yet. She's in the process. She's trying to get through the process. And, you know, for me, that's kind of painful. The thought of watching I-30 and the Short Track Nationals going away, it's kind of painful to me. What do you think about that, Austin? Because this is one of the great racetracks in the country. It puts on some of the best racing action. It's a little bull ring. Great action. I've seen a lot of great races at I-30 Speedway. What do you think about I-30 closing up? That's going to be a huge loss to the racing community, isn't it, down there in that area?
Yeah, I'm not sure how many, you know, tracks they have in Arkansas or, you know, kind of around the Little Rock area. I know it's probably not a lot. I think maybe I-30 might be one of the few, but yeah, it's tough. The area that Little Rock's in, it's right off the highway, kind of in the city.
Have you been there?
I've seen images of it and where it's at. Yeah. So it's in like prime business area, you know. So it's not the best, in my opinion, not the best spot to have a racetrack. And maybe when it was built years ago, there was nothing around it, and it was the spot at the time to have a track, and it's everything, you know, grown and developed. It's just developed around it, and it's going to be absorbed by it. So, you know, I could see, you know, tracks closer to cities, you know, here in the future having the same issue.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's a sign, or maybe it's a time where some tracks that are close, maybe it's time to maybe sell out and go build a new one, you know, kind of out in the middle of nowhere.
I doubt Tracy, you know, will build a new racetrack.
Maybe not her. Maybe it's a situation like Grandview or tracks, you know, maybe an I-80 or not that they would do it, but, you know, their situation's kind of like this. And, you know, maybe it's time where we need to go and sell what you have, build a new one out in the middle of nowhere where you don't have, you know, businesses wanting to buy your land or, you know, houses around, and try and last another 30 or 40 years.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to slightly disagree with you a little bit. All right, just slightly. I think the location of I-30 Speedway on I-30, right where it's at, is a prime location for a racetrack because everybody can see it. There's, I don't even know what the car count would be on I-30 of the traffic that goes by that racetrack every day, but it's got to be well over 100,000 cars go past that place every day. Well over that. I don't know what it is, but it's well above that. And if you want anything in a racetrack, you want to be visible to the people that are in your community, and you want to be in an area to where people can see the racetrack and know what's going on there, see a sign out there. It says when the races are going to happen. I think that the location is excellent, but I'm with you 100% on it. The community is growing up around it, and how long can you beat off the people that are offering you a lot of money? I don't know the amount of money they're getting for that racetrack. Who knows what it is? But I'm sure it's in the millions, right? Because that property's worth a lot of money. And so it's got to be in the millions. I don't know. I can't tell you how much it is. But how could a person, over the course of time, continue to turn down the kind of money that people are offering for that land? And I can't blame the Clays at all for wanting to take the money and run. I don't see them opening up another racetrack. I don't see that happening. You know, Tracy's, I'm not calling her old, but she's not a young woman. And she might want to take that money, pump the brakes a little bit, and just enjoy life a little bit. And why would you blame anybody for wanting to do that? To be honest with you, I'm in the same stage of life right now. You know, traveling up and down the road with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour for 13 years, being gone 180 days a year. You know, we got a little bit of money from Flo when we sold the rights to the Chili Bowl in the shootout. And now, me as a person, I'm wanting to pump the brakes a little bit. And that's why we're doing this daily podcast every day. And we hope to continue to do it next year. We hope that Lucas Oil stays on board with us and we can continue to do this for a long length of time. I love doing the podcast, right? I love coming in here every day, meeting with Kirk, meeting with Austin, doing the show. But when you get to, and I'm going to say my age, 62. I'm 62 years old. I'm just at the point right now to where, you know, when you get 60, I tell people this all the time. When you get 60 years old, you start thinking a little bit different. You start thinking about, all right, my time is almost up here. What do I want to do with my spare time? Do I want to travel? Do I want to go around and just go to races all summer long? Do I want to do a podcast every day? Do I want to hang out with friends and just go out and watch races all around the country? Maybe that might be the plan in the end before it's all said and done. But it when you start to get up around that age of 60, life looks a little bit different. That's all I can say. You buy into that, Austin?
Yeah, probably in 50 years I might. But, you know, maybe I don't want to see a racetrack ever closed. I wish we could have
a ton
of them. But
no doubt.
Maybe it's a situation where I'll kind of use our area as an example. We have, let's see, 3, 4, 5, we'll say 8 within 2-3 hours of Kansas City.
Right.
And like a radius. So we're seeing cars and fields that go from one track that have been there for so many years. A new track opens up and it splits the field. A new track opens up again and splits the field. And all the fields have been going down, and the car count's been going down.
Right,
so
right.
What if it's a point to where, you know, some of these tracks, let's say in our area, you know,
go
close down
only.
And that or just closed down, and you know, maybe it's a situation like Little Rock, and the city comes in and buys it, or a company does, and we go from maybe having 8 tracks in a 3-hour radius mm-hmm. to having maybe 4 or 3 or 5, and force these guys to go back to where they maybe used to be, and so they only have maybe a choice on Friday, and maybe 2 choices on Friday, maybe 2 choices on Saturday, and maybe 1 on Sunday. And not, instead of having maybe 3 on Friday and 3 on Saturday and mm-hmm. 2 on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. It's never good when we see racetracks close. But we're seeing that trend, a lot of that going on right now around the country right now. So, all right, we got a phone call here. Is that John? All right. Let's go to John. Hey, John, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good. And I don't know if you guys realize, but they got something out right now to try to petition. You know, there's a group trying to close Paris Speedway out in California.
Oh, there is.
Yeah.
Wow. Turn your radio, turn your computer down there, John. Would you for me?
Okay.
There you go. There you have
okay.
it. Okay. So they're trying to close Paris.
Yeah, they're trying to close Paris. It's something about a water deal, and
oh wow.
And I guess they trying to alert the people out there to try to vote. You know, to try to vote to keep the racetrack going.
Well, so we know in that part of the country that they're worried about water, right?
Right.
Yeah, and when they have to water that racetrack, that's probably their big concern there, wouldn't you think?
It has probably something to do with it, yeah, but, I mean, why would they want to close it down? Just keep, you know, just maybe...
I'm with you.
Shut it down for a while until they get rain and all that.
Do you think Paris could make it as a special-only track?
Well, you know the whole thing about that racetrack. Say, you know, if you live in the LA area and all that, traffic and all that, it could take you 3 hours to get there.
That's true.
That's the big hang up out there, the traffic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's hope that doesn't happen, because that's one of the great racetracks in the country, and we hope that never happens, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, and California don't have that many half-mile racetracks.
Yeah. Where do you live at, John? Where do you live?
Well, I'm from Fullerton, California, but I come back here, go racing and all that, so I'm in Fremont, Ohio.
Fremont, Ohio, but you live in California part-time.
I used to live out there, but I come back here, and then I met my wife, and here I am. I'm still here.
Yeah.
40-some years later.
Oh, I see. What racetrack do you go to there in Ohio, John?
I like Eldora.
Eldora. Uh-huh.
And, Attica, it gets so dusty.
Yeah.
There. Yeah. Fremont's not too bad. They got some good tracks, Lima. And, Indiana's got good tracks. I mean, you can't beat Kokomo.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
And Paragon.
So do you travel around a little bit to go to some different racetracks?
Not as much. When I was younger and all that, I used to, go a lot. But,
yeah.
I really like the USAC races and all that. I'm not real crazy about the wing cars.
I got you.
The thing I don't like about it right now is, back then, you could see the race drivers.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, the cars are so closed up where you can't even, you might see the helmet, but
yeah,
that's it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You don't even get to see the guys working the steering wheel and all that anymore.
Yeah. John,
they're all closed in like a cocoon.
John, do you mind me asking you how old you are?
83.
83 years old. So you've seen a lot of racing in your years.
Oh yeah, I went back when I got to watch the good racing, like AJ Foyt, Parnelli Jones,
right.
Hurtubise, guys like that, Tattersall.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey, do you know where AJ Foyt won his first USAC midget race?
I think it was Springfield, wasn't it?
No, it was Kansas City, Missouri at Olympic Stadium, 1957.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for
I
sure.
I know it was back then, way back.
Yeah, it was way back in the day. Yeah, John, yeah. We really appreciate you calling in. Feel free to call in anytime you'd like, my friend.
Oh, you know, the other day, you know, Buddy Kofoid won a 410 sprint car race, I think, in Nevada when he was 11 years old. It was a 410
right.
sprint car race.
Isn't that crazy? That kid has got a lot of talent. He's going to go a long ways, isn't he?
Well, I just hope he does good at DuQuoin. He should have won the one. At Terre Haute. He was running away with that race when the front end broke on it.
Yeah. What do you think of the young Ryan Timms running second with the World of Outlaws?
Oh, what about Ronnie Day? Both those guys, you know, they're good.
Yeah. Got a lot of young kids coming up through the pipes right now.
Yeah, I heard those. I heard Tim's got a lot of money behind him.
Yeah, well, they're
but
not.
They still got talent.
They're, you know, there's a lot of rich kids out there that have talent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it always bugs me when people say, "Oh, he's just a spoiled rich kid." But if the kid has talent, why wouldn't the parent want to invest in those kids to make them a professional race car driver?
Well, you know, like Buddy Kofoid, I don't think they really had a lot of money. His dad was a plumber, you know.
Yeah.
And he used to go to, I think, San Francisco every day to, you know, in his business.
Yeah.
But here's a kid that come with a lot of talent with no money, you know. Well, it's just like Kyle Larson.
Same thing.
You know, they didn't have a lot of money behind them when they started.
Just talent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right, John, thanks for calling in. We appreciate
good
you.
Show.
All right,
okay.
Thank you, bud. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the postman, Steve Post, is going to join us right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jared Specialty Sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three 9-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor along with producer Austin O'Neill. And joining us now on the show is a good friend of the show, longtime friend, the postman Steve Post joins us now. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing good. What's going on, Scott? Everything good in your world?
Oh, you know, I'm just looking forward to next week. I'm a little pumped up that I'm going to get to take you down to Knuckleheads next week.
Yeah, you know, we've been threatening to do this for a long, long time, right. And very excited. Get a chance to come out to Kansas Speedway a day early, and looking forward to catching up with you and checking out one of your local haunts there, and seeing what's going on out there. It's going to be a fun time for sure.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. Looking forward to it, Steve. Man, what do you think about? Did you hear about I-30 Speedway? Maybe it might be closing down. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I read a little bit about that this week. And, man, I'm telling you what, that's rough there. And I met with on a more personal – I mean, I was at I-30 last year, and I loved it.
Right.
First time I'd ever been there. I'm up where I'm from, Grandview Speedway up in Pennsylvania looks like it's shutting down as well.
That's what we hear.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of little tracks that kind of come and go, but I-30 and Grandview are mainstay rock solid racetracks.
Yeah.
And gosh, that's very concerning. It really is.
So Steve, let's just talk a little bit about the where motorsports is as a community right now when it comes to short track racing. You know, when we were kids, when we were going to the races, when I went in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and maybe the early 2000s, short track racing was thriving. A lot of fans, a lot of people went. They were in the habit of going every week. What do we see what is changing now in our world of motorsports that's making people not want to go to the racetracks as the way they did back in the day? What do you think is the reason behind that, Steve?
Well, Scott, I'll be honest with you, and this is not directed at any. It's not directed at I-30. Certainly, I've been to one show there, and it was an ASCS National Tour show. So I don't know how they
right.
do things, but Scott, So I'm headed to North Wilkesboro tonight, and this will be my 115th race of the year. So I go to a lot of racetracks. Yeah. I go to a lot of races. I mean, I do a lot of NASCAR stuff, and I do a lot of big-time stuff. But I am telling you, Scott, I go to some shows that are just terrible. Terrible. They don't start on time. They run till midnight.
Poorly.
They don't tell you what's going on. They don't tell you the difference between a limited late model and a late model and a street stock. I think, and again, not knowing all the details, what's going on at I-30, Grandview, they just had someone come in and offer a pile of money for the racetrack, it looks like.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, we're in a time where our society, where when you go out for entertainment, and it doesn't matter if it's a night at the dirt track, a night at a bar, a night at a baseball stadium, minor league baseball stadium, a night at the theater.
You better be entertained.
You better have your act together, start on time, and get people out of there. And I honestly believe some of the shows I've seen this year, I've seen some just god-awful, terrible shows where me as a race fan was ready to leave. I couldn't imagine a casual person just coming off the street.
You know, the art of promoting is lacking in our industry right now. A lot of people believe that they can either work off the back gate or they can just open the gates and people will come. The art of promoting races is lacking in our industry right now, isn't it?
Yeah, the art of promoting, the art of making it special, the art of getting people there, and then the art of getting people entertained for 2 hours, 2.5, maybe 3 hours, and getting them the hell out of there. And that's part of it. So yeah, a lot of it is the promotions going around with that, but then it's the event organizing part of it, or the lack of event organizing part of it, you know. And people just demand things to happen promptly so that they can move on to the next thing on their calendar. You know, you talk about the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Scott, we'd go to the racetrack 5, 6 o'clock at night, and we'd be moaning when the 11 o'clock curfew hit.
Right.
And canceled the modified feature.
Yeah.
We'd be, that's 6 hours. We're at the racetrack, and we'd be moaning about it.
Yeah.
You can't do that in 2022. You can't do that. You can't do that with me, and I'm a diehard race fan, and I get wore out on it. You know, I mean, there's a lot that's changed in the world, and I think some of our short tracks haven't changed is what I think is one of the problems.
Steve, how much do you think the phone has hurt the racing industry?
I'm sorry, I had a little pitch there. The what?
The phone, your personal phone. How much has that hurt the industry?
See, I'm telling you what, Scott. If I promoted a racetrack, the phone would be the best tool I had.
Right. Okay?
I'm not going to be able to take the phone from you, okay?
Right.
So how do I incorporate the phone into what we're doing? You know, can you download a program? Can you download rosters? I love my race pass. My race pass. If I ran a racetrack, the first thing I would do is my race pass, and I would be running a contest with the gaming every night. They do the fantasy racing.
Right.
You know, you win fantasy racing, you get 2 tickets to next week's race.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've got to embrace the phone. And I go to most tracks. And so the problem is, and I think that's part of the adapting to our society. Our society has moved to a phone society, okay?
Yep.
We can't change that. So how do we embrace that?
Right.
You know, I mean, do we get on Facebook Live from the pit area and say, hey, jump on our Facebook Live on your phone and see an interview with this driver, see an interview with that driver? Do you tie that in? And I think that there's got to be ways that you can tie that in, but I don't see any. I see very few tracks doing it.
Right.
And the bottom line is the phone is our connection to everything. So you know, you walk into the racetrack, and does the track have an app? Do we have scoring? Like I said, the My Race Pass fantasy racing, is that on there? Are we embracing it? Hey, you know, fantasy racing. Everyone does fantasy football. Everyone does fantasy this, fantasy that. Why are we not doing fantasy racing? And, hey, an update on fantasy racing. So-and-so's leading and so-and-so's second. You know, you need to play it. And I just think there's a lot of ways, and that's promoting in 2022, and I think a lot of our people running the sport are not promoting in 2022.
I think I'm like you, Steve. I think that you need to embrace the phone and use it as a mechanism to bring people to the racetrack. Do whatever you have to do to create interest in your racetrack, to draw people into the racetrack. I think that's the future. And until promoters start utilizing the phone as a mechanism to bring people to the racetrack, they're going to be losing.
Because that's the society.
Yeah.
This goes back. I had an old preacher friend that was up there preaching one night, Scott.
Yeah.
And he said, I can't talk to my kids. They're always on the phone. I can't talk to my kids. All they want to do is text them. And he just kind of drops the mic and says, text the kid. You know, we're not going to remove the phone from our society, and we're not going to remove the phones for our kids. Turn it into your advantage.
Yeah.
Get savvy. My daughters and I FaceTime. My one daughter's in India now, and we FaceTime each other. The phone is the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Because I get to FaceTime with my daughter in India. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, how do we embrace this technology? How do we do this? How do we incorporate this into our racing programs? And I just think there's, I think there's a ton of ways out there. I think with the, I just think there's a lot of things that can be done, and I see virtually nobody doing it. And I worry about that, because to me, this is a great tool. The other thing of it is, okay, go on here and we're having interviews on Facebook. Hey, you're sitting here in the grandstands. Do us a favor, share this.
Right.
You share it to your 178 fans, your friends, or your 562 friends.
Right.
Most of them are not at the racetrack, and they're like, oh, man, Jim's at the racetrack. He's having a good time. Trailer's at the racetrack.
Right.
Man, this is cool. They got gaming there. They got live fantasy racing. They've got this. We might have to come out and do it. They're done at 10:30 on a Friday night. Oh, we need to go check this out.
Yeah.
We have a whole lot of people in this sport that are still promoting in the 1970s and 80s. And the problem of it is the fan of the 1970s and 80s are no longer with us.
Right.
Some of us old dogs are still around.
Yeah.
But that's the problem. We're old dogs, and they're not replacing them with new fans by new ways of operating.
You know, I think that's the biggest challenge that we have in our industry is creating enthusiasm through young people to get those young people back to the racetracks. Like when we were kids, I mean, the grandstands were full of young kids, right? And nowadays, it's nothing but a bunch of old gray hair guys standing up there watching the races.
Right. Back in our day, Scott, we were a car culture. Cars were the most important thing to you. Cars were the most important thing to me. 14 and a half years old, 15 years old, whatever state you were in, you had to get that license. You had to get your permit. You had to get driving. Mm-hmm. We all wanted to drive. We all wanted to see the cars go around in circles. Well, we live in a phone society now.
Yeah.
Our kids use a phone to dial up Uber to get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the bottom line of it is we've got to make your question about the phone, the impact on it. To me, the phone might be the problem, but the phone also might be the answer.
That's
what I think. I actually believe I've thought about this a lot, obviously. If I was running a racetrack, I would be like, okay, let's sit down with a bunch of young people. How do you play on your phone? TikTok. Okay, drivers, you know, get on TikTok. Start making stupid videos of your guys' mountain tires and stupid videos of this, stupid videos of that. Because, you know, there's a lot of our drivers that are younger guys.
Right.
You know, and embrace that and tie in your driver's social media, your driver's YouTube page, your driver's Instagram into your social media, because that's where your fans are, or that's where your potential fans are. You know, I mean, so I just think that I think it's a lot of work, and I think it's totally different than we've ever done before. But I think you would see fruits to your labor if you would embrace it and kind of go in that direction.
No, I agree with you, Steve. I don't know if you've heard this rumor, but there's another rumor out there, another legendary racetrack that might be sold. Have you heard about Devil's Bowl? Might be up for sale.
No. No, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
Mm, man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the other thing, Scott. Here's the other thing is that when you look at Devil's Bowl, that has been owned by a family forever and a day.
60 years.
And the next generation, maybe, I don't know what's going on. And that's still rumor states. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You look at I-30, Tracy Clay. How long has Tracy been doing it? You look at Grandview. I know the story at Grandview. The Rogers family's been running it for 60 years.
Right.
Bruce passed away years ago. Teresa's been running it. Someone just gave her a whole boatload of money, a co-parted junkyard, just offered her a whole boatload of money. And it looks like she's, you know, the town's got to zone it and all the other stuff, but they've agreed to a price on it. We've got to also embrace younger promoters. And there's some good ones out there.
There is
some great young promoters out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've got to start to showcase them. You know, I think we've got to put those young promoters on the pedestal. You know, I always think about this, and these are all, and I'm not cutting on these gentlemen, and I will mention them by names because I love every one of them.
Right.
Every year at Knoxville, they do a promoters roundtable. Okay. And every year at Knoxville, it's Larry Booz, formerly with Eldora, Rex Lejeune with Attica, Steve Sinclair with the IRA. It's the same guys every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I love and respect every one of those guys. And I would tell them this to their face. That's why I'm saying it on your program.
Right.
Where are the young promoters? where is the Brett Dale that's running the super the short track super series over in the eastern part of the country? Where's Brett Dale? This year, I will say this, Brad Sweet did join him on the panel. Brad has taken over Chico out in California, and right. I think that's great.
Yeah.
But it's like, where are we going to elevate these promoters? I think Steve O'Neill and Port Royal is arguably one of the greatest promoters in the country, and that sort of thing. And he knows what he's doing, and he's obviously successful. I think and there's a lot of good ones. We need to celebrate the young ones that are creative, that are coming up with these new ideas, these new things. And I think that because when you look at these tracks that we're mentioning, two that are in rumor stage, I-30 sounds a little bit warm there. Devil's Bowl's rumor stage. Grandview sounds like it's a deal. They are all old school promoters where the next generation didn't quite have the passion that the original generation did.
Right.
And that's fine. I'm not asking anyone to have it. But where are those people that have the passion and want to roll up their sleeves and say, you know, racetrack promoting looks like it might be a little bit difficult. I'm ready for the challenge. Give me my phone. Let's get going on this thing. You know, and I think that that's a challenge as well, is who's going to fill their shoes, the old country song, who's going to fill the shoes in operating these racetracks as well.
Right. You know, we talked about it a little bit earlier in the show, is that when you get to a certain age, like myself, I'm 62, I'm in the stage of my life when I'm ready to pump the brakes a little bit, right? Because we all know when you get to 60 that the rest of your life, there's not a lot of years left, right? To be honest with you. So I'm in the stage where I'm pumping the brakes. I'm doing this podcast. I love doing the podcast. I love speaking with you every Wednesday here on Mostly Motorsports. But the problem is that I don't think there's enough young people out there that have the revenue or the resources to get into this business. That's the number one problem that I see with young people getting into this game is watching people get into this game that have the resources to be able to promote races and do it at a professional level. That's my biggest concern.
Well, and I think it's a challenge. You know, I really do. I think, I don't sit here professing to have all the answers with it all. I think it is a challenge, but this is what's happening because face it, the reality of it is that when I know of the Rogers family in Grandview. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Bruce Rogers ran the track forever. Teresa, her son, I'm trying to think of his name. Her son has got to be just about my age.
Right.
So I'm like you. I'm looking how to pump the brakes.
Right.
Her son's like, you know, we maybe have gone a little too far down the road on this thing. You know, where it's like it's assumed that the next generation is going to take it over. The next generation hits 55, and they're like, I ain't running this like my old man did till he was 90 years old.
Right.
You know, I mean, I just think that we let him need new ideas. I think that when new promoters come in, they need to be celebrated, ones that are having success, ones that are dynamic, ones that are coming up with new and creative ideas. And doing different things. We've got some good things happening here in the Carolinas. We got a young couple promoting South Boston Speedway, and they are crushing it at South Boston Speedway. We got another young guy, Crichton is his last name. Oh, I can see the guy. Man, if he's listening, he'd kill me. Running Langley Speedway out in Virginia. Langley Speedway is packing them in on Saturday nights. Jeff Striegel, one of my cohorts. Jeff is he's been around a little while. He's taken over as general manager up at Berlin Speedway.
Mm.
Berlin Speedway, they have had nights where they've turned people away to get into the grandstands. But it's new creative ideas. It's efficient shows. It's getting people in, but more importantly, getting them out of there. Berlin, they built a bar area. You know, you got a nice bar area where you can do. They've got nice suites for people who want to do the suites, and they've invested a lot back into the property. The same thing with Langley. He's got a great bar room area off from turn number three where you sit right along the wall, but you're sitting there, you got bar service, table service.
Right.
You can get concession stand food delivered right to your table. Well, that's what you do at the ballpark.
Yeah.
That's what you do at minor league baseball games. That's what you do everywhere else.
Yeah, no
Why
doubt.
Are we not doing that at the racetrack? And I think when you see that, and when you go to South Boston on a Saturday night and you see the place two-thirds full, not 10% full, like you see a lot of racetracks, when you see it two-thirds full, and then when they bring in the car store or when they bring in the NASCAR Wheel and Modifieds or Smart Modifieds or when they bring in the SRX thing you see them hanging from the rafters there. And I see there's some young promoters doing a really nice job, and we've got a couple of them here in our area. I hope we can get some of these young creative promoters across the country and do it. I'm anxious to see what the Gold Cup looks like next week.
Yeah, okay? No doubt.
It's Kyle Larson, it's Brad Sweet, and Colby Copeland. Colby's a young racer from California, and he's kind of manning the ship out there. Well, they've added to the purse. They're bringing back the $5,000 to win bikini contest. Now that's going old school on everybody. You know, they've got bands, they've got music, they've got all kinds of things. And I'm anxious to see how they do, how Brad and Kyle and Colby do out there, and how things are going with some of this new blood.
Yeah, you got to give them a bang for their buck, that's for sure. Cole, he just chimed in. He said the fastest way to get me to skip a race is too many classes. I'll drive.
Yes.
He says.
Amen.
He goes, I'll drive 383 miles to Knoxville before I'll drive a half hour away to watch five or six classes. And I think that is right on target. You know, the best time that Lakeside ever had, Lakeside Speedway and I-70 for that matter, is when they ran three classes.
Right.
And they had a lot of cars in all three of those classes. I think it goes back to these promoters trying to make too much money off the back gate and not thinking about the front gate and not working on the front gate to get the people into the grandstands.
The thing I never saw, Scott, you're 100% right, and he is 100% right. I look at a show, and I got a friend that runs a racetrack, and I'm going to go there coming up, and he's a friend of mine. He's got eight divisions running. I'm like, oh, my God.
Crazy.
I love you, brother, but I don't even know that I want to sit through that.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, what are we doing here? But you know, I think that's the thing, is like that back gate mentality. Here's what I never understood about back gate mentality, okay? Back gate mentality is giving you money, and your responsibility is to give them money back, okay, in purses, in prize money.
Right.
Front gate mentality is give you money, and you never have to give them a dime back.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to emphasize the front gate where the return is 100%?
Yeah,
I mean,
no doubt.
Forget the back gate. You got to respect the racer and treat the racer well. But that person walks in and shells out $10, $12, $15 to come into the front gate of a racetrack. He's not coming to the pay window at the end of the night.
Yeah.
And I just never understood that. That seems so basic to me, yet I see track after track after track. You get 12 cars in a division, and someone's pissed off about it because they got this and that, so you create another division, and now you got 2 6-car divisions.
Yeah.
And it's just, my God, it just gets old, and it just gets painful, and then it's terrible to watch, too. It's terrible to watch, which then starts cutting into your front gate.
Well, you know what typically happens? The reason those promoters have that many classes is because they don't have enough cars in any of those classes, right? They're short on car count, so they bring in more classes to try to make up for the car count that they don't have in the other series or the other classes.
I understand that, but let's say right now, the Steepos, they gave me a track that had 8 classes running.
Right.
Okay? You know the first thing I'm doing, I'm like, which of these two are the closest together? Okay? And I'm going to work and say, guys, I can't handle any more 25-lap features with 7 cars. I just can't.
Right.
There's no way I can do this.
Right.
In sports car racing, they run 2 divisions together at the same time. We're doubling it up, or we're doing weight rules, or we're doing something to equalize this, or to run 2 divisions at one time and kill 2 birds with 1 stone.
Yeah,
because it just, to me, is like, it's, you know, you've got to have a good show. Because if you don't have a good show, it don't matter what you do.
Yeah.
You know? But you're right. I mean, you don't have enough cars. But the problem of it is that, you know, you just keep slicing the pie thinner and thinner, and each piece of pie gets lesser and lesser when you do that.
Yeah.
And then you know, then what do you have? Just you just have god-awful racing at times. It's terrible sometimes.
Yeah.
Like 7 cars. And then, my God. Well, I promised them that they could run 75 laps. I sat through, Scott, earlier this year, a 4-truck race that was 75 laps.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And you know what they didn't do elsewise? They didn't put it at the end of the program. They put it right in the middle of the program.
The worst place to put it.
Yeah.
Run it last.
That's the other thing I would do. Right. I'm telling you what, you came to my, I show up on a Saturday night and I'm running a racetrack. My premier division is going to be second or third.
Right.
I don't, you know, my premier division is going to be second or third. My first division is the one that's going to give me the best race.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I've got 15 street stocks, street stock, and seven in this one and four in this one, street stocks you're first, and then I'm going with my modifiers or my late model stocks or my sprint cars, whatever my premier division is, and then ease people on down. If people want to leave, they don't feel like they're into. I sat through a four-truck race for 75 laps and didn't even see the premier division. That was after that race.
Oh,
they had to walk
gosh.
Through the stands and wake people up to tell them that the late models were coming on the track.
Man, that
It just seems to me like very, very basic stuff. But, man, there's times where it's just painful to watch this. And I watch a lot of it. Like I said, I'm going tonight, my 115th race of the year. I'll go to 150 races this year. I've seen it all. I've seen the good and I've seen the bad. You know what happens with the good? There's usually a lot of people at those racetracks where the good
That's
is.
That's true. True. All right, Steve. First of all, I've got that's a great topic, and we'll discuss it down the road again, I'm sure, at some point.
Yeah.
Tammy, one of our great listeners, she's there every day for us, and she is from up there in the Pennsylvania area. She said Scott asked the postman how he thought Georgia Hanaberry did for her first time working for MRN. What'd you think about that?
Georgia was spectacular. I mean, she just is that girl right now. If Georgia decided that she wanted to be the lead broadcaster with any television network, okay, I'm not talking about pay-per-view. I'm not even MRN. I am telling you, she is that good where within about 4 or 5 years, she would be there. She is that good.
Wow.
First and foremost, she's a racer.
Mm-hmm.
There's the thing. She's a racer. So right there, she's got an advantage. She ran go-karts. She ran some micro sprints. She's very she's very, very entrenched with the racing world.
In tune.
She follows it. She loves it. She loves racing. She loves her NASCAR racing as much as she loves her open wheel racing as
her
IndyCar stuff. And so she came in, and George and I talked a little bit in the past. We chatted. But then as I got to know her and spend time with her this weekend, and then when we flipped the mics on, it's like, holy cow. You know, she just knocks it out. She asks questions. That's something that so many of us, and I include myself with that, don't do. She asks questions of guests. And she just does, she just does a really, really good job on a lot of it. And she really did a great job.
Natural.
And I know, you know, we had a good time with her as part of the MRN crew, and she was filling in. She was in a fill-in role, and I don't know where it all goes from here, but she's a special, special, special talent, and she's really a nice young lady too. We had a chance to break bread a little bit. We had a lot of rain delays. God knows we had a lot of rain delays in Daytona.
Yeah,
had a chance to talk too, and so she did really, really good. Fantastic.
So I want to ask you this question, Steve, and you can give me as honest of an answer as that you would like, and I know you will. But do you think that they waited 3 hours and 19 minutes because NASCAR had a little egg on their face because they let them run down there into turn one when it was raining? Do you think that they went the extra time to dry the racetrack to get that race back together because they felt like they had a little egg on their face?
I don't know that they felt like they had egg on their face, because I don't know what you do with that, Scott.
Yeah.
I don't know what you do with it. It rained for 5 minutes on the front stretch and didn't rain on pit road. Okay? That storm was weird. That was a weird. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. spun in the middle of the trioval on the front stretch. His car sat there for a few moments, and when he pulled away, you could see where the rain had fallen around the race car. I'm standing 100 yards away on pit road with no rain, okay? So I don't know that it was egg on their face. I do know that it was a weird way to end the regular season. So
yeah.
I'm not sure it's egg on the face, but I think it's like, ew, that's really not a good way to end the season. Now, the other factor is this, and I salute those people at NASCAR who made the decision. It was only 1:30 on a Sunday afternoon when that all went down.
That's true.
It was only 1:30, and boy, I'm going to tell you what, Scott. You think it looked bad when they went hauling it off in the rain down there? You do the social media of people in the infield at 5 o'clock in the bright sunshine barbecuing out, saying we could have raced, and fans didn't get to see their full 400 miles. You got a major nightmare there as well.
There's some truth
so
there.
I don't think it was egg on the face. I think it was, this is an awful way to end the regular season.
Right.
We hate that it happens. I don't know necessarily that they could have done anything different, but it was an awful way to end the regular season. But I think the biggest factor of it is we're at 1:30 on a Sunday afternoon. We got to give this into the late afternoon or evening before we pull the plug on this thing. And by God, thank God they did, because they got the rest of the race in.
Is it good that Austin Dillon ended up winning that race?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there was that was kind of the beauty of where we were at with this. There were so many compelling stories outside. There was a compelling story of if both Blaney and Martin Truex Jr. got in on points and someone that had already won or a non-regular right. had won. But I think when you look at those drivers that were on the outside looking in, you have Austin Dillon, Richard Childress, the three car, the team has definitely surged. I mean, Richard Childress Racing has 3 wins this season.
Yeah.
That's pretty sporty for that team.
Pretty big.
I don't know when the last time they've had 3 wins has been.
Yeah.
It's been a while, I can promise you that. So
yeah.
Richard Childress Racing. Of course, that Bubba Wallace, had Michael McDowell would have been a great story. Imagine if Eric Jones would have put Richard Petty's 43 in the playoffs. You know what that would have been like. Brad Keselowski and Chris Buescher with what's going on there. I think you had all kinds of good stories, and I think Austin Dillon was a great story as well. But, I mean, I'm not sure that with everyone's battle, I'm not sure other than, you know, like maybe if a Ty Dillon or a Cole Custer won it, you're like, oh, okay, maybe that was, you know. But I think there's a lot of those guys that needed to win that race that had really compelling stories.
Yeah.
And now we got Austin Dillon and Richard Childress has both cars in the playoffs, and we'll see how they fare when we go to Darlington this week. We're by the way, Austin Dillon finished 9th in the spring, so he's pretty good at Darlington.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're visiting with Steve Post, the postman. His appearance is brought to you by Sage Fruit. We want to thank those guys for allowing Steve to come over here and be a part of our show on Wednesdays. Well, let's just wrap it up here, Steve. What are you going to be doing this weekend? What's your plans this weekend?
So my plans are, I'm going to North Wilkesboro tonight for Racetrack Revival. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is running a late model stock car.
Right.
And Scott, they plan on having about 20,000 people up at North Wilkesboro tonight. They've had to get a certified and everything, the turns 1 and 2 grandstand with the ticket sales. So I'm going to that tonight. And then on Friday afternoon, I'm going to ease my way down to Darlington, South Carolina. I'm going to hit Darlington Saturday afternoon for the Xfinity Series. I'm going to sneak over to Florence Motor Speedway and watch some late model stock racing on Saturday night. And then it is the Cookout Southern 500 NASCAR Cup Series kicking off the playoffs on Motor Racing Network on Sunday night. So I got a great weekend, and I love Darlington. Darlington's one of my favorite spots on the planet, so I can't wait to get down there.
Yeah, no doubt. Looking forward to watching that myself this weekend. So, Steve, we want to thank you, as usual, for always taking the time. We kept you a little bit longer than we normally do. Interesting discussion talking about racetracks and the promoters and the future of our sport. We appreciate you taking the time to join us each and every Wednesday. And we're looking forward to you sitting in the studio with us next Thursday. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Next Thursday.
Yeah.
In studio, yes. And when you talked about promoters and running races, you hit one of my soapbox items. So I'll always talk about that. I appreciate the time today. It was fun, as always. And, yeah, I look forward to doing it real time next week. Going to be fun.
All right, Steve. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, there you have it, Steve Post, the postman. I want to remind everybody about the track tribute that's going on at Ascot Park right now at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's going to be going on through October 1st. They've got videos. They've got all kinds of merchandise, driver uniforms. They've got shirts that are hanging from the ceiling up there that are old vintage race shirts from Ascot Park. It's a great exhibit to Ascot Park going on right now through October 1st at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. You need to get up there and see it. They've got a bunch of great old race cars up there. I've talked about it over and over and over again, how much I really enjoy looking at the Jimmy Oskey's old paint sprint car that's up there. It's still in its original configuration, like it was pulled off the racetrack just yesterday. They've got a Pernelli Jones car up there, a Dean Thompson car up there. So many cool cars up there to see right now at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. And again, that's going to be going on through October 1st. And if you can't make it up there, it's going to be your loss. You know what you need to do? You need to take a little trip up to Knoxville, Iowa, and go to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and check out what's going on up there right now. And while you're there, you can buy a raffle ticket. You know, they're giving away a complete race-ready 410 sprint car. It's a triple X chassis with a mole motor in it. Mole? What did I say?
It's not a mole. It's not a ground animal. It's not, a moil.
A moil.
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 Jamie Moyle built.
Jamie Moyle. It's not a
it's
mole.
Built right down the street from the tracks. Probably 4 or 5 blocks from the track.
Is it really? Mm-hmm. Is it that close?
It's pretty close.
Wow. Anyway, we would love to win that sprint car here because that way we could put Austin in it and he could go up there and run at Knoxville every week if he wanted to. If we win that sprint car, that might be the ticket. We might just hand it over to him, let him go race it, and then when he's done with it at the end of the year, if there's anything left, we'll just take it back from him. Would that be okay, Austin?
Anything left of it? You have hardly any hope in me.
I have a lot of faith in you, but you know, it is sprint car racing, right?
It's sprint car racing, but...
Have you ever wrecked a sprint car?
Come on. You know the answer to that.
Right. I mean, it happens, right?
I didn't crash anything this year, so I'm on a good track record right now.
We just need a motor. That's all we need right now. All right. Well, we want to thank everybody for tuning in. Again, if you can't make it up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum to buy you a raffle ticket, you can always do it online at sprintcarraffle.com. That's sprintcarraffle.com. Well, that was a pretty good show. What'd you think about Old Post and his thoughts on promoters in our industry right now, Austin? What'd you think about that?
He had some really good opinions and some really good, you know, thoughts about, you know, racing and what he would do as a promoter. You know, I feel like, you know, what I said earlier and what Post said can be pretty close and compared. And, you know, I think, you know, he's definitely put some more thought into it than I have and sees it from a different role than I do. So, you know, I think he's spot on about pretty much all of it. And, you know, it's, yeah, I'm just trying to think about.
We got to find some young promoters out there with the resources to be able to promote these racetracks. That's
that's the big thing. And then, you know, it's that. And then, you know, the too many classes and we see it, you know, all over the place. Look at Knoxville for an example. They have mm-hmm. 3 classes, and I think they had 70 to 80 sprint cars in the pits last Saturday night, and the 360 class was kind of down on their car count. So, you know, and the stands were, you know, Knoxville has, I think the front stretch holds about 12,000 people, and, you know, there wasn't a full capacity over there, but I'm going to say about half and maybe a little under half full, and, you know, that's a really good crowd for the
nice
weekly
crowd.
Show. So,
yeah.
You know, I think a lot of tracks could, you know, maybe look at Knoxville and other places, maybe like a Port Royal or tracks around the country that have a great weekly program and understand, you know, and you know, dig deep into what makes them good and what makes people, you know, continue to go back to their racetrack and see if they can't use that for their own place.
Yeah, no doubt. So just so you know, when I asked Tammy, where do people pull for shots when he's up there in PA, she put in capital letters, no. She said, that is a different story. Yes, fans were happy to see Donnie win the Nationals. So I think a lot of people were happy to see Donnie win the Nationals. So anyway, all right, folks. Well, thanks for tuning in. Again, today's show has been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow, Scotty Cook is going to join us here on the show. We'll be talking about what's going on with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour and more with Scotty Cook tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, it's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll see you tomorrow.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive.
It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.